Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Friday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Happy for how our guys responded from, you know, a short week and a tough loss on Sunday.
Pass by Josh, complete left side, caught by the fullback, goes into the end zone, touchdown Buffalo. It is Dawson Knox.
They didn't took so many away from me. I thought they were going to take that one away because I hit them kind of low. I said, well, oh well, there go another one.
Simeon takes the snap. He gets pressured. He gets dumped. He is sacked. They sack him. Ed Oliver drops Trevor Siemian.
I tell the truth, last week when I got one and it didn't count, I was just like, man, get it. I ain't going to even worry about him. And then, lo and behold, I got another one.
Diggs get open, basically. Again, he's a route technician. I think everybody knows that.
Fakes the handoff. Back to throw. Fires to the end zone. It is caught in the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo. Stephon Diggs.
I think he's using different hair products this year than he did in the years before.
Josh fakes a handoff, sets up the throw, got a man wide open, caught at the 14-yard line. Dawson Knox inside the five, headed to the end zone, touchdown Buffalo on fourth and two.
Shout out to everyone that was blocking, tight end receivers, offensive line. Josh throwing me a good ball, and cut back and score.
Josh fires a short one, and it is Matt Breida who gets a good block at the 10 to the 5, touchdown. Matt Breida, touchdown Buffalo.
We'll be challenged this week, you know, as we look ahead to the Patriots, and that'll be a big challenge for us.
Obviously, Tre'Davious is a huge playmaker for us, and just his presence on the football field is unmatched. And so, you know, hopefully he's healthy.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hi, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving once again. And thanks for being with us on this Friday, Buffalo Bills Football Friday, if you want. It's wordy, but, you know, reminds you that we are talking about a game that happened last night. They won, and maybe all is well again, but we have to start with some bad news. Just during Joe's update, it was reported and announced by the Bills that Trey White did tear his ACL out for the season. So the Bills have been very fortunate when it comes to injuries, relatively speaking, have a big one here that they'll have to get through.
Yeah, massive. Massive. I mean, that's just a huge injury. I imagine if you could sit down with Sean McDermott and Leslie Frazier and have them go through all the ways that they take advantage of White's excellence as a player, I have a feeling you'd be sitting there a while. That's just a guess. I mean, I just feel like he affords them the ability to do a lot of what they do on defense because they just don't have, you know, I think it allows other guys to get help. And he's as irreplaceable on this team as maybe anyone outside of the quarterback. Big, big loss.
Do I remember correctly that he made a super play one play before the play on which he was hurt? A pass to the sideline where he's just right on the guy, whoever it was, maybe Traquan, and knocked the pass down, and they're talking about him. And I in my house, my father-in-law were talking about Trey White during that replay, just like how important he is. And then I think it was the next play. It was right after that where a play happens. He's not really involved in it. And then you see the cutaway to White down on the field. And then you get the replay, maybe after a commercial, you get the replay where he was not hit on the play. And like that sort of does not bode well.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, it wasn't the grisliest replay ever, but
you know
enough watching sports, you see somebody's leg go like that, and you just, okay, I hope that just looks way worse than it is, and it'll be better. But obviously the news today is not unexpected, But still, it still hits. It hits hard.
When you saw his when you saw his face, you know, when you saw his face.
Yeah, for me it was McDermott. I mean, McDermott is good about getting out there no matter who the guy is. It seems like he's out there a lot when guys go down, maybe always. And when I saw him holding Trey White's hand, I just thought, you know, that doesn't mean it has to be what it ended up being, but it felt like that was a compassionate thing to do, and like because they were really worried about what it could be, and it turns out they were right. Yeah, tough. It really kind of, I don't want to say ruined the night. I mean, they won the game, but it was hard. At least, you know, I was watching with four or five other people, and it was just hard to escape. Like, you know, yay, touchdown. Man, I hope Trey White's okay. You know, that was basically the second half of this game in my house. Yeah, yay, all right, good, another three now for the Saints. I hope Trey White's okay.
Did you watch the end? You were just downright bragging about how spry you felt during pregame.
We waited for the on-field interview with Diggs, Allen, and Dawson Knox and the turkey legs and the whole thing. Yeah,
Look at you.
Yeah, I even cracked a beer like when the game was over, like celebratory. Nah, maybe not when it was over. Like 5 minutes to go, I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna have another beer. They're winning the game. It's a good night. Let's keep it rolling.
I got cocky. I didn't go to bed. I just turned it off. Like 8 minutes. Trubisky. No fantasy relevance here. What do I need to know? I got a little cocky.
Yeah.
Maybe I got away with it. I definitely wouldn't. I wouldn't share this bit of information. I wouldn't want everybody to know that.
Nothing really important happened after that.
That's what I was hoping you'd say.
I don't
Did we? You know, Trey White, I guess, included. I don't know. Did we learn anything about the Bills last night? I'm sort of between how Monday sounded, and Sunday and Monday were one of these times where I just felt like Sunday I was working alone and just fending off really just far out there, actually the Bills are kind of terrible, you know, takes. And it bled into Monday a little bit, but that's not going to be most people. This show is never, when it comes to like calls and everything, it's not usually most people, how, you know, what people are saying and how they sound. It's a very small faction of the fan base. So I knew that, but it still was kind of stark early this week about like how, and we talked about that a lot through, you know, Wednesday and yesterday, like this is a moment here for them to try to reestablish, I guess, in people's minds that they are a top team. And so I guess they did that. I mean, it's an easy score. It was kind of an easy game.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a perfect game.
No, they were a little sloppy there. I mean, 10-0 at halftime against that team was a little tough to see. You know, I mean, you can explain it away with the mistakes. I mean, Allen made really one mistake. I don't know that I hold his arm getting hit against him on the second interception, but the first one was a rookie-ish QB throw, just staring the guy down and waiting too long and just not, you know, not good. But no, I don't think we really learned much. This is who the Bills have been all year. And the Saints, despite having a .500 record going into the game, you know, the state of their roster with all their injuries, I mean, they were impotent on offense. It really, there wasn't a, you know, this game was well into the second half, and they had like 60 yards of offense.
Yeah, their lowest,
200. Yeah,
their lowest first half total in years at home.
Yeah,
in the game.
So, you know, they didn't really provide much of a challenge, and the Bills did what you should do to a team like that, I think, and eventually put them down. And I don't think it was a real challenging afternoon or evening, excuse me. So it's a lot like many of their wins this year, where it's a big score, it's the NFL, and so like, okay, I salute you, but did we learn anything about them? No. Like I feel like we've known they're capable of that. And so let's see, you know, this week. I mean, we've got an extra day, maybe starting today already, to be thinking about the Patriots, and because that's the next game, and that was looming all week, this week even, to me. And they've been like closing on the Bills, eventually passed the Bills. The Bills passed them last night with their win until we see what happens on Sunday when Tennessee visits New England. But I don't feel like I learned anything new about the Bills. I think They're still, to me, the contender we've thought they were, but they're going to have to prove it now against New England. And you go into this first New England game with the knowledge that a team that wants to try to push them around just did it last Sunday. And if New England wants to play the same game, and I would highly suspect that they will, the Bills are going to have to demonstrate that they can handle that in some way better than they did against Indianapolis. So I feel like there's the same questions after the Colt game to me are still there, because New England was always going to be, to me, the harder game than this game last night.
Yep. Talk about the Patriots some more in a second, but a little trivia first. What's the last Bills regular season win that they won by fewer than 10 points?
Oh, boy. Are there none this year?
Correct.
Okay.
In fact, fewer than 15 is out. We can do that, too.
Yeah, okay.
It's a different game.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember now. Is the Ram game last year, was that a 10-point game?
35-32. The Rams had a throw to win it. You know, right, or the Bills won it right at the end. So they were behind driving, and they won it right at the end. There's one game or two. There's a couple games since then. Well, a few, actually.
What about that Jet game?
It's the week after that, New England, where Newton's fumble is the last Bills regular season win by fewer than 10 points, which, you know, wouldn't be much if this team didn't win all the time. But I don't know. Let's see. They have like 14 wins since then in the regular season, all by at least 10 points. They have won by at least 15 points every game since the Steelers Sunday night game last year. So it's a very odd season. What Aaron Schott's website put it as is like the most inconsistent team in the league.
Right. The variance from like top of their rankings to like lower in the rankings is really dramatic this year.
Yeah. I don't know, I guess. I mean, some team always will be, and there doesn't have to be some defining trait that team has. Some team will have the most variance every year. So it's this team this year, but it is really just kind of all over the place. And, you know, the Colt loss stands out as a bad loss because it was a big score and the other losses were not. So still, you have, for the most part, a team, like, you know, average margin of victory in that, which is impressive. And that returned with the game last night. Defensively, they were great. Maybe any team would have been great against the Saints, but I'll give them credit. I mean, the schedule has been a part of the story. It was a part of the conversation this week. Yeah, but, right, who do they play? And I think maybe this team they played last night does fall into that category on offense. Like, all right, well, what was that? I mean,
yeah, I mean, they just could not really do anything. And you do want to – you're doing, to me, the right thing. Like, the Bills deserve some, you know, credit for that.
What else can you do, right? But
you weren't really, you know, come on. I mean, that just was not much of a test.
No, they were close to a shutout. They've already had a couple of those this year. So, I don't know. Like, the one player on New Orleans that we – in our conversations, we were the closest thing to worried about – was active but didn't play at all.
I know.
And I felt bad about myself when the game was playing out. Like, was I supposed to know that?
Yeah.
Like, Taysom Hill is not somebody who's I'm jamming into fantasy lineups. So, oh, the phone just fell off the table. That's what that was. Sorry for the distraction. No, like, well, you know what? Let me say one more thing about that. That's a huge phone.
It is a big phone, yes.
That is a phone that made that sound. Could you hear that?
Assuming it's still the same phone that's always been there.
There's not many phones left that make that thud.
It might be the biggest phone out there.
Yes.
All right, sorry. No, I felt like
Taysom Hill. I didn't know. You're already saying it. Like, I had there's talk I heard today about a foot injury and that they're being careful with him or something. I'm sorry. I feel like I prepared to do my job this week as I normally would. I didn't know that he was nursing something that could keep him from playing at all in this game. I mean, we were talking on the pregame yesterday. Like, if I'm them, I start him and run him until the Bills show they can stop it. And not only did they not start the game that way, they just never even tried it. So that was weird, especially with the news of him getting the big contract this week. It was odd to me that he didn't get on the field at all. And you're right. That was the one guy that I thought, like, you know, if they can do something unconventional, and run him and take advantage of the Bills the way – in any way similar at all to what Indianapolis did, that would be a thing that could keep them in the game, and it just wasn't even a card that Sean Payton played.
Yeah, it would have to have been like a scheme thing. This isn't Jonathan Taylor or somebody. But he had been hurt. At one point on pregame, I'm like, well, he's healthier. Like, I felt like I knew that. But he did not play a snap last week against Philadelphia either. And I don't know if he was active for that game, but he's also, like, I think he's the backup quarterback. So, I don't know, like, that was a weird one. You know how Tua was the backup quarterback for Miami, even though he was injured, but then he went in. So, that was a miss. But, I mean, good for the Bills, I guess. It's not like he's great, but he could have been interesting.
Yeah.
And really, there was nothing interesting about the Saints on offense in this game at all. So, now we have a tie at the top of the AFC East. I think maybe the most fun thing to talk about today could be what we want from Titans-Patriots. And I know what I want from that game in terms of a winner. I want New England to win.
Okay.
I think it's really about how good the Bills, how good you think the Bills are. And, I mean, I'm not looking for credit, but I trusted, for the most part, I mean, I trusted what I thought I knew about them going into this game last night. I the picks to me that we do are a silly sort of, you know, just a fun kind of throwaway thing that I like to make fun of more than I take seriously. When it got to Bill Saints on Wednesday, I'm like, this is easy.
Yeah.
So I was, you know, reassured, but I'm thinking of them as a team that is a Super Bowl contender. And with six games to go in the season and two games against New England, where I'd hope to at least split, you know, I'll take my chances beating them out over six games. It's Tennessee where I need the help. And there still is, as close as it all is, there still is a way. It's not likely, but there still is a path to the top seed for the Bills. Or even, you know, well, you have to beat New England to get a home game. But right. I want to trust them to be able to do that.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate your wanting to trust that. I'm on Team Titans for this one. And I guess that means I have to admit that I'm willing to just let go of the number one seed dream. You know, but so be it. I don't usually really like setting my sights low. But right now, especially if Tennessee, you know, beats New England and increases the likelihood that they end up being the one, I would rather shoot for two, make sure I beat, you know, if I split with New England but they lose this game, that can work for me. That can be a pathway to the two seed and a home game. And who knows with Tennessee being the one. They could lose that first game because of how how a lot of people, I single guys out, or Joe and Nate from when you were away in Hawaii, you know, Tennessee's a vulnerable one seed. So if I can get the two, to me, the door's not closed at getting to stay home right through, just like last year. I mean, you know, that I don't know how close that got. I mean, Kansas City was on the ropes a little against Cleveland with Mahomes hurt, and Cleveland just couldn't get it done. So, and I am worried about the Patriots and their style. If they were to win Sunday, I don't like the Bills' chances of sweeping them right now. So I would like them to get tagged with a loss here so that I can split with them and still be ahead. That's what I'd be shooting for.
I think your point about Tennessee being soft is to my argument that if they do get the one, isn't it? I'm wanting New England to win the game. No, I guess it isn't. Yeah, I got mixed up. I guess it isn't. I agree with it. I think it's right. Like if Tennessee is the one, what is it right now? Tennessee 1, Baltimore 2. Just indulge me. Mm-hmm. Buffalo 3, Kansas City 4.
I believe that's exactly what it is, yes.
Like, they could be, Joe, right? I mean, wouldn't they be an underdog at home against those teams? Maybe not all of them, but wouldn't they be an underdog home? I've thought for weeks they'd be an underdog at home against the Bills if they played again. That could change over the next 8 weeks, but I feel that way now.
They're 6.5-point dogs at New England this week. So isn't that telling you that they would be a 3-point underdog at home against New England?
They'd be a 1.5-point underdog at home against New England if you use the 3-point
model.
But they They could even be an underdog at home to the Patriots. I think yes to the Bills. I think probably to the Chiefs, even though they blasted the Chiefs. There could be like sort of a matchup point there that people would lean on. And maybe Baltimore, too. I mean, Baltimore won there in the playoffs last year, for what that's worth. I like that point. I think if they are the one, that's why I should want Tennessee to win.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it requires you to sort of give up getting the one because, you know, Tennessee getting another game on you, and they already have the head-to-head on you, and the Bills' conference record isn't good. Like, they're in tough for the one if Tennessee wins on Sunday. But, like, yeah, like I think the fact that they're a vulnerable one makes me feel like the two could be, you know, I don't get the bye, and obviously that's the premium value in getting the one, right? And so I recognize that. I'm settling for playing an extra game. And, you know, who knows how much of a factor that was last year. We've talked a lot about how banged up the Bills receivers specifically were going into the AFC title game last year in Kansas City. So, you know, maybe having to have played an extra game was a key factor in that. Who knows? But nonetheless, I think with the schedule the Bills have got left, you know, New England twice here in the next few weeks, Tampa sitting there, I would like someone to take a chunk out of New England as soon as possible, and that's this Sunday. So, you know, I think that increases my chances. I've already got a head-to-head on Kansas City if it comes to that, you know, as far as the two versus the three. You know, Baltimore, I don't know where I stand with them at this point.
Probably not great. But you know, they have – I mean, that division is just so close.
Their schedule is just impossible down the stretch. They don't have an easy game left.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. They might be the betting favorite to win the AFC North, but holy cow. I was trying to think today – I'm sorry to go on a tangent here about this, but I was thinking today that maybe every division game in that division so far this year has been won by the road team. But there are also – tell me if you can think of one that hasn't been. But there are a lot of them left. The Ravens have the Steelers twice. They have the Browns twice.
Yeah.
Green Bay, Rams, Bengals. At the Bengals, and the Bengals beat them badly in Baltimore. So 7-3, what's their likeliest record? Maybe 10-7? Like they're fringe.
Yeah, they're in tough. Yeah, so
that wasn't what you were saying. I know you were just talking about tiebreakers.
No, but it contributes to it. Like I'm just looking at the standings as I'm making that point, and you know, like trying to quickly, you know, discern like, do I have a leg up on them anywhere? They're 4-3 in conference. The Bills are already 5-4, so they've already got one more loss, but they've played two more games in conference than Baltimore has. So you know, with the schedule they've got left, you could end up having a leg up, you know, or being tied with them in conference record, and then from there, who knows? But bottom line, give me Tennessee on Sunday, and that I think helps me win the AFC, and that helps me get as high as I can get without really thinking about the one anymore.
Two teams John Clayton hates, the Bears and Lions. The Ravens stole games from each of those teams, absolutely stole wins over the Bears and Lions.
Yep.
Teams that filled your Thanksgiving, were a part of your Thanksgiving day yesterday. Okay, sorry to be weird. All right, we have a timeout here. We don't have any guests planned, but we have the Sabres tonight, and Paul Hamilton will join us at the top of the 6 o'clock hour for the start of our pregame show, so look forward to that. Did we learn anything about the Bills last night? Tennessee, New England next. The AFC, would love your opinions on that. And the Trey White injury, worst case scenario, torn ACL out for the season. The Bills confirm. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here with Sneaky Joe. Thanks for being with us on this Black Friday. Hope to hear from you next. 803-0550, the number. This is
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue.
And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
UGR.
To be honest, I don't know. Both of the games been pretty close to home. Like, I got a lot of family in Louisiana, a lot of family in Texas, so I get in front of my foes. It's like, man, I didn't pay for all these tickets, y'all, to come here. So, hey, I got to go hard, unless I'm wasting money, really.
How many tickets for this one?
40. Yeah, 40 tickets. So, I basically played for free. My mom knew it was in a box, so I played for free. But I know they appreciate it. So.
Ed Oliver, one of the stars of last night's Bills win in New Orleans. 31-6. Another easy win on the scoreboard for the Bills. Yes, that does come after a pretty bad loss. What, 41-15? Mm-hmm. But they had the short week. There was logic behind and people on the team, Eric Wood also, people behind the idea that short week was good in this case. Josh Allen talked about that. Maybe that's good for us.
Yeah, I bought into that. You know, I think I asked Eric last Monday about it. Like, do you think it could work for them, that they don't have to stew in this for too long, right? You know, not so much that it would avoid them getting yelled at by their coaches, you know, from, like, going over the tape and, like, dwelling on it. But, you know, you got another game. You got to get moving. You got to get fit. You got to get rest, and you got to prepare to go play. So that might have been for the best coming off of that Indy game.
I thought Drew Brees was good. One thing I thought about last night that did, I think, maybe not come to fruition was that we'd be mad at Drew Brees. Are people mad at Drew Brees? I didn't find anything the least bit sort of like homery about him. I thought he was good, actually. I thought he was interesting. And that piece on Allen's throwing mechanics I liked. I thought he did a good job.
I definitely didn't find anything objectionable. I would stop way short of saying I liked him, though.
You would?
Maybe I just thought it was empty. Like, I don't know. He felt like, and look, you know, he's been doing these Notre Dame games. I don't know how many games he's got on his resume, but he just, I don't know. He just didn't seem like a natural to me. But you know, maybe I'm hard to please. I don't know. But as far as what he said, there was nothing to me that rang as, like, you know, this guy's, you know, a Saints legend and is being celebrated at halftime with towels with his name
no,
on it and all
right.
that stuff. It was objective. I had no issue there, although I'm probably not the best judge of that because I tend to just ignore all that anyway. When people get mad at Chris Collinsworth or whomever, I just sort of... I never get it.
I never get it.
Oh, but I didn't like him. Like, I'm like, oh, when's he doing another game? He's going to be great at this. Like, I'm nowhere near there. I just thought he seemed sort of stiff. But again, that might be, you know, just inexperience.
It would not have been an easy game to be a Saints homer for. Like, it was really
right, when
they got a first down, they were really hitting. They were really hitting all the, you know, on all cylinders.
There was some point maybe right before they scored. I don't know, maybe a 24-0. Where he sort of still sounded like, you know, if they have any hope here or something. And that maybe was as homery as it, because who was watching that game thinking they had any hope? You know, like, come on. They're out of it. But, you know, regardless, I just didn't care for him much.
Wow.
But I've never been a big fan of his.
Bulldog, like, hammering Drew Brees.
I've been watching him on the studio show all season long. And when it's his turn to talk, it just seems like it's really a labor for him to get it out comfortably. So I'm not a big fan.
Wow.
Doesn't sound like I miss much. I didn't hear a word he said, so obviously.
Sort of feel bad about my position now.
No, you know, I mean, good.
Kind of like
them. You never like these guys.
I know.
So if you like someone, I think, you know, good for you.
No, you know what it is? I don't have, like,
I just didn't like it.
I don't have specific counterpoints to yours. I did mention, like, the throwing mechanics thing, and he's certainly qualified to speak on that, and I like that. I like how they had that, the two pictures of Allen, and then they went to Breeze, like, in the booth, trying to sort of show you what he was talking about there. I thought that was good. It's just most of these broadcasts, I think you would agree, even though we were different on last night, are just almost entirely nothing. They're either meaningless points. This Monday Night Crew that you talk about, like, totally. They're either meaningless points or easily disprovable. You either knew them already, or they're wrong, or they're just meaningless, you know? Everybody's doing a good job, and just, like, it just drives you crazy. It's such a waste, because you could be learning about something that's happening, but not really. And just, it's never funny. Then they laugh anyway, and that makes me mad, because you know it's not funny and they're still laughing. It's just, it's frustrating. And I thought last night, it sort of stands out what it isn't. And it's funny to hear you say you didn't think he was a natural, because I thought, like, it was more conversational than I think a lot. Compared to, like, Trent Green, where everything is just a meaningless cliche, and you're supposed to like it because, like, oh, he's not really wrong per se. It's just meaningless. And yeah. I thought it was better than that. I thought it was a level above that. But what I'll do when I get home is rewatch it.
Oh, shut up.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. Get out of here. I had a weekend. I got the biggest fantasy day of my life Sunday. I'm not rewatching the game.
Yeah,
tonight.
Who in America sees the broadcast crews for their games and goes, "Oh, good, Trent Green."
Well, I mean,
like, does anyone besides, like, his family go, "Ooh, good, Trent's got this game. I love him."
You know, that's a specific criticism, but shouldn't it be more like that, where you are interested in the person and, like, that? It's probably good. It has to be an ex-player, and maybe it's somebody with, like, a certain unique perspective or point of view. It so rarely is. It so rarely sounds like. That's why we like the Mannings so much. The Mannings talk over each other and talk about lots of things that have nothing to do with the game you're watching, and everybody seems to much prefer it.
Right.
What does that tell you?
Yeah. Well, I think it tells you a lot.
803-0550 is our number. Okay, Trey White out for the year. We'll see what the Bills can do to compensate for that. They've got a long time here before their next game, which is the Patriot Monday night game. What a night that should be. New England has Tennessee at home on Sunday. A.J. Brown has been ruled out. So Tennessee is almost like, sort of like what New Orleans turned into.
Right.
But they still have their quarterback.
No receivers. Yeah, right.
Right. Julio Jones is out. A.J. Brown is out. Adrian Peterson was cut after Derrick Henry went out. You're looking at Deontay Foreman, who is coming off a torn Achilles, I think. He played for the Texans, but he's hardly ever really gotten a chance and stayed healthy in the league. And Dontrell Hilliard, who was with the Browns, the Titans used him last week more than the other guys. They were losing, so he's more of like a pass-catching role type running back. Jeremy McNichols is maybe still out. I don't know. He had a concussion and he missed the last game, I believe. And receivers, you have who? You have Nick. This is like when the Titans came off the COVID crisis and played the Bills last year. We're like, except for Derrick Henry. That's a big butt there. But Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, Chester Rogers was there. He got hurt too. No. Marcus Johnson got hurt. Rogers. They signed Golden Tate. That's how they go into New England.
There's a good debate about who you root for in that game. I think Tennessee is going to get obliterated Sunday.
Their defense isn't that bad. It was, but
it's been pretty inconsistent. But they do get pressure. They get pressure and they get turnovers.
I mean, is New England a team that we're just, like, all assuming can score? That's this game. That's the Bills matchup.
To obliterate, I mean, they did. Who did they absolutely destroyed the Jets Is that it, right? They had a big, like, 50 points against the Jets.
Yep. Cleveland.
Cleveland, okay.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I get that is. That's going to slow me down because I was thinking about picks even earlier this afternoon and looking at that game and thinking I like Tennessee with the points because I'm not sure New England is like a team that is just going to dance on someone. But they've done it a couple times, and you know Cleveland is supposed to be able to play defense. They've had some tough outcomes.
They are sixth in points per game, and they have scored 24 or more every week since week four.
Typically, you're kind of right, though. Like they're look at what they're scoring outside of those two games, 25, 24, 27, 29. Like, well, they're scoring between 20 and 30 points, and they're holding you to in the teens.
Takeaways. I mean, takeaways are a big factor in your points for. Like the Falcons, they scored 25 against the Falcons. What did that game look like? They had a pick six right at the end. You know, they were in the teens.
Right.
Like settling for field goals, you know, they're still scoring drives, and if those are touchdowns, then you're back up in the 20s or 30s. Whatever. I mean, I don't know. I do not think the Patriots are a better team than the Bills. Defensively, they're both good. The Patriots can run it. Okay, congrats. Quarterback seems like he might be – he's interesting. You know, he's good for a rookie. He's better than that. I mean, he's been good, period, so far this year, Jones, but – I don't know. Trey White's a thing, though. Yeah. I mean, last night, my thing was I wanted to see the Bills get back to who they are when they're at their best. And so the subject of who the running back should be would come up. I'd be like, I don't care who the running back should be. And, you know, I think last night, for the most part, was that, too. It was Breida and not Moss, and there was plenty of Singletary. But did it dictate this game? It was okay. They wanted it. I mean, it was part of their approach to the game for sure.
Yeah, I mean they ran it more than they threw it, and that wasn't just score effects either. I mean that
right.
Opening drive I think might have been seven run plays, if I remember correctly. I gotta look again. But they came out and you know established the run. I mean they ran it. They ran it more than they threw it. And again, I don't think that's just because it got crooked later. So they didn't quite. I mean, I was saying yesterday a few times that, you know, whether it's Breida, whether it's Moss, whatever they're going to do back there, I wouldn't expect it to change much about who they are. And I don't know. I think there's evidence that would say that they did change some of that. And I don't know if that's just matchup specific, but they seemed more devoted to running the ball yesterday than they have been.
I agree with that, but I got to stay on brand here. Like, what did it amount to? There's two things I'll use. One is they would have had reason. You could think, and it would have been borne out, that they felt they were playing a team that couldn't threaten them.
Right.
So that's the Dolphin games a little bit, or the Jet game, where you're just you can do that. You can live that way, and you might think it's better to do that. And the other point is, like, okay, so what did it do for them? I mean, halftime, I wasn't nervous for them, but it was 10 to nothing. You know, like all that running ended up not in scoring drives, you know, interceptions. And I mean, don't let me get away with all of it. I mean, running plays were not interceptions.
Right, right. Yeah, they didn't fail to score more points because they ran it too much.
You know, hold
they
on.
They gave
a minute,
the
Mike.
Ball away on pass plays, so be careful. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, throwing the ball is how they got into the end zone all night. So. I don't think we saw a shift in what they want to be. I think these things just like, you know, it's always been true. Like a lot of it is just who you're playing, how you match up, and one good matchup or bad one can really change how you go about playing your game, you know, what your game plan looks like. So, you know, Breida was fine, I guess. They moved away from him in this game and then back to him when it was pretty much over. And I won't even want to guess at what this means for their lineup for the Patriots. You know, like it could be Moss, right? Would that be surprising or something if you think they wouldn't do that?
I at this point, I would be surprised if they, I mean, they could always, exchange Singletary and Moss. I think Breida stays. I mean, he scored again. And yeah, you know, is it a touchdown that was, you know, needed? Was it impactful? No, but it's still evidence of him being able to do something with the ball in his hands. So at this point, I would say it would really, really shock me if he doesn't get touches again, maybe the same as he did this, you know, yesterday. But if I had to bet right now, they go with the same set of guys, assuming nothing happens, you know, COVID injury, whatever. You know, during the week, I would think you roll out the same when Moss is on the side.
Singletary, 45 snaps, Breida, 21. Breida run a route wrong.
The call, Knox scored a touchdown that was called back due to an eligible man downfield. I think that was right before Allen's pick to end the first half. Breida ran right. He was supposed to run left for a screen, and he didn't play for it.
That's where you saw Bucker, who got the penalty.
Yeah, yeah.
And the other lineman downfield to the left.
Yep.
So he had to be punished.
Yeah. Okay. So that was a because that was a weird play when like the way they set that up, because I was looking at it when they showed the replay of why Butker got the penalty he got. And I'm like, there's not anyone over there to throw to. Like, what kind of fake is this? There's not a pass catcher over there. There are like three linemen over there, and that's it. Like, that was kind of a weird fake.
I thought that's what was brilliant about it, but it did not occur to me that might have been a mistake. Oh, look at this cool idea. Put all the linemen over there and throw it over here. Love it. Touchdown. Easy game. We'll get to another lineup thing that we spent a lot of time on yesterday, and that's Stevenson in for McKenzie. As we go, Stevenson was kind of fun to watch. There was some juice there with him and Breida that felt different. Mm-hmm. Different guys, so it should feel different, I guess. But he had that one muff, and I felt like I could just read his mind, you know. And he gets up from after being tackled, he sort of slammed the ball down, you know. He's, am I benched now? Do I have to go?
Right.
Sorry, coach. 31-6 in the end, an easy win, but enthusiasm dampened by the Trey White injury, torn ACL out for the year. Tennessee and New England Sunday. Got any thoughts on any of this? You can call us up, 803-0550. That would be us getting connected with our fans, brought to you by Bond, Schenick & King, a full-service Buffalo law firm. Sabres home to Montreal tonight, pregame at 6 here on WG.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Are. getting late into the season, but not too late to play the Rocket Mortgage 2021 Pro Football Pick'em Contest. Text PICKS to 20357 to play. It's free. All you have to do is pick the winner of each week's games. There's no point spreads or lineups to have to know about. I'm in there. I've had a little bit of a resurgence, but too far back of Alex Gold, I think, to expect to win it. Actually, what I need to do is spend the rest of my winnings from last year before the year ends. That'd be a good idea. You ever find gift cards lying around that expired that you never used?
I found a stack of gift cards, and like, there might be 10 of them from like three different places. And I have no idea. You know, like, how much, can you tell me how much is on this, please? Can you tell me how much is on this one, please? Like, that's what it would be like to go use those cards. They're just stacked up in a desk.
Feels like there's just no time pressure, but there can be.
Yeah.
You know, there can be an expiration date on those things. Well, it's a nice problem to have. The Rocket Mortgage 2021 Pro Football Pick'em Contest. Text PICKS to 20357 to play. The Sabres are home tonight. We've got pregame at 6. Montreal is here. And then where are we tomorrow? Detroit?
Yep. And then back home again Monday?
Monday for Seattle.
Yeah.
Joe's got hockey. This is a busy sports day, as you probably know. College football, college basketball, hockey all day. Tons of games again, like Wednesday. Only today there's afternoon action.
Staggered, right. Too. Like, there's
staggered.
1, 3, 3:30, 4, 5, 6. Like, there's games at every time slot.
Three games going now, and one is over. And Joe bet the salami today.
Oh, look at you.
That's Joe with the... That's
great
excitement.
Star. Huh?
That's excitement.
What right am there, I at? Yeah. 7. I got 5-2 for Bruins Rangers. I got to get the 76, by the way. It's 1-0 Flyers. 77, right. 1-0 Flyers, 8 minutes in. 2-0 Wild, 9 minutes in. 1-0 Blues, so...
I think you got to feel pretty good if you're betting 11. The Grand Salami and you get 7 goals in the first game of the day, you're off to a good start.
Yes. 7 in the first game and 11 total.
It's too soon to celebrate.
Too soon, but I'm feeling good. Right, 5. I
didn't say anything about celebrating.
But yeah, for Bulldogs are 7 from Rangers Bruins is the start you need.
Yeah.
Yeah, what do you want? What, empty net goals or overtime goals? And you got an empty net goal. Coaches are getting, they're not getting smarter. Organizations are hiring people that know better than they do in sports. So you've got, you know, hockey sort of like, oh yeah, we're going to pull the goalie now with like 4 minutes left. We're hip. But the Rangers put one in for 5-2. Can we get the Ice Wolves involved in some holiday gambling action?
Is there a null salami?
A null salami.
I don't know.
Bet there should be. Obviously.
I'm sure there's a crap ton of games tonight. I don't know how busy they were the night before, but the Owens team played on Thanksgiving Eve, and they play tonight in Corpus Christi, Texas. So the whole league is playing. I mean, they primarily play Fridays and Saturdays. So I'm sure there's probably 15 games or 14 games, however many teams there are in the league. Everybody's playing.
There's also the match today, if you want to bet on that.
I had that written down to bring up earlier in the week and never did. Couldn't care less. I'm annoyed that this match exists. Because I've wanted to think that the DeChambeau-Koepka thing was real. And maybe it was, but is it now?
My inclination is that it was real. They kind of made up at the Ryder Cup. And they know that some people will still think it's real, so they're capitalizing on it with this money grab.
Play it up, yeah, right.
Yeah, so I think it's fake now. Yeah. They might not even play into it. They might be very cordial. I don't know what it's going to look like.
Who wants to watch that?
Yeah.
No, I want to see a fist fight.
Yeah.
I don't want to see a fist fight. I just like the idea that there's two top players in sports that are not friendly. I mean, I like that. But
sport too where that never happens.
Yeah. It did start to, like, Koepka started to wear on me because it just, like, he was just forcing.
It just seemed like he wouldn't let it go.
Yeah, I mean, just sort of relax.
Yeah.
But
I'm mad at you for even bringing it up. Like, I see the ads in my Twitter scroll, and I'm just like, I have no time for it. I don't care. Like, it would be impossible for me to generate any sort of fake interest in this thing. I just don't care.
You'd have to bet it to care at all.
Yeah. This is because
I would not bet it so that I would be able to continue to not care.
You would intentionally not bet it so that,
yes.
Well, that's your way. Like, that's what fantasy.
Yeah.
I don't want to play fantasy because then I would care more about my teams than the games, and I don't want to live like that.
Right.
So that's right. Okay.
I don't want to watch games that aren't interesting to begin with.
Right.
On their own merits.
That's right.
And that is definitively what this golf thing is.
I just don't care
at all. And
And
furthermore, I don't think anyone on earth should care.
Oh,
stop lapping up the garbage they feed you. Just don't go read. Pick up a book. Don't watch this golf match.
Go
it's
read Hemingway.
Garbage.
Go read Hemingway. Bulldog says.
Better yet, pick up a pen and write a book.
Oh,
go do that.
That's not better.
Go create your masterpiece. Don't watch Koepka and DeChambeau and some staged nonsense on a channel that I don't even get. By the way, just don't bother.
Not to worry, then, I guess for you. You can't even get it.
I can't. No,
no worries.
Even if I wanted to. That probably plays a part in my stance.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Anybody want to call in? That's fine. 803-0550. We don't have a lot planned. We're just going to talk about last night's game, Trey White's injury. Also, I'm going to ask you guys next if you think a certain Bills player is on the verge of history with what's happening to him and his season so far. We might be seeing history in the making here in a certain way for a Bill. Not Josh Allen either in this case. 803-0550 to join us. Sabres and Canadians tonight. Happy Thanksgiving once again. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Auto Parts.